If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Luke. I would like to read from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to begin reading, Lord willing, with the 8th verse. Read through verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to call the name of Jesus. We need thee every moment of our lives. We stand especially in need of thy help this night, and we pray that you would help us, that you would lift us up and strengthen us and bless us to be able to feel the presence of the Spirit of God. We know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we ask you for your manifestation of your Spirit. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come tonight asking you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to center our affections completely upon thee and thy word, that you would help us to resist the devil, that you would help us to draw nigh to you. We need your help. Bless us now, and we pray that you would bless all of thy people that stand in great need of thy comfort this night. Bless those who have lost loved ones. We pray that your comforter would be with them. We know that your word says that you comfort us like a mother comforts her child. So comfort each of these that have lost loved ones. Bless those who are sick and afflicted. We know that you're the great physician. We thank you for the doctors and nurses and medicine and all that they're able to do. But we know that without thee, they can do nothing. So bless all of those that are sick. Bless Sister Michelle Street in a very special way. Pray that you would lift her up, restore her completely to her health. We thank you for the way that you're blessing her during the treatments for cancer, and pray that you would bless her now as she begins the second half of treatments, that you would lift her up and bless her in an abundant way. Thank you for the way the Spirit of God is radiating from her life. Bless her and all of her family. Be with Brother Bill Tucker this week as he has his surgery. Bless Brother Kelvin to have a safe trip home. Bless all those that are on the prayer list. Bless each one. And Lord, we pray that you would help us during this coming week, that we would walk as children of light, that we would honor thee and glorify thee with our lives. Bless every member and every friend of the church. Bless each family that's here tonight. And bless those that are providentially hindered. We pray that you would bless those that are sick and unable to be here, that you would lift them up and restore them to their health. Again now, there are those with unspoken prayer requests. We pray that you would bless each of them and help us to know how to help one another. Bless us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. The Word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If correctly read, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is where the angel spoke to the shepherds and said, "Fear not." That's the first thing I want us to think about, is that God, over and over in His Word, God tells His people, "Fear not, fear not." I've never counted, but I've heard that there are 365 times in the Bible that God tells His people, "Fear not." I know that there are many times. I've looked at the Word of God and studied the subject of fear many times, and I know that there are numerous times that God tells His people, "Fear not." Even as we look at the birth of Jesus Christ and the events surrounding the birth of Christ, we find that there were several times that God told them, His people, He said, fear not. For example, who was the forerunner of Christ? Who was the forerunner of Christ? John the Baptist. Who were his parents? Zacharias and Elizabeth. You remember how, if you back up just one page, Zacharias was praying. He was praying for God to bless him and his wife Elizabeth to have a child. In Luke chapter 1, listen to verse 13. Luke 1, verse 13, the Word of God says, the angel said unto him, that is to Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. What was he saying to Zacharias? Don't be afraid, your prayer is heard. And I think that if we can know that God is hearing our prayers, if we can feel God hearing our prayers, it will alleviate a lot of fear in our lives. So God told Zacharias, fear not. When the angel came to Mary, you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the angel began to speak to Mary. Luke chapter 1 verse 30, the Word of God says, and the angel said unto Mary, or said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So God told Zacharias, fear not. God tells Mary, fear not. And then we come to Luke chapter 2, and God, through the angel, God tells the shepherds, fear not. Now, every time God says, fear not, at least of those that I've just read to you, there is a different reason that God says they have for not fearing. And it's the reason that God gives for not fearing that I want us to look at tonight. In Luke 2 and verse 11, after he says in verse 10, he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For, and here's the reason we don't need to be afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, that's the reason that the angel gave the shepherds that they had no reason to fear. Fear not, because you have a Savior. There is born unto you this night in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, if our understanding of the Savior is not correct, then we have every reason in the world to fear. If it's a weak Savior, if it's somebody that's just trying to save or offering to save, or if it's someone who wants to save, but he can't save unless you will let him, then that kind of a Savior is not a reason to have no fear. But if it's the God of heaven and earth, if the Savior under consideration is all-powerful, if He is the Savior that does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, if the Savior is the sovereign God of heaven and earth, then I have reason not to fear. Fear not, because you have a Savior. You remember that when the angel began to speak to Joseph about Mary bringing forth a child, Matthew 1:21, that Jesus said, or the angel said to Joseph, he said, that Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus, and I want to emphasize this because I think there are many of God's children that don't understand that we really have a Savior. They think that we have someone that has offered to save or tried to save, but Jesus is the Savior, and He accomplished what He came to do. His primary mission, the reason He was sent into this world, was to save His people from their sins. He says in John 6, verse 36, He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is my Father's will, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose what? Nothing. Not going to lose one. Not a single one that Jesus Christ died for is going to be lost. They will not be lost because they didn't remain faithful to Jesus. They're not going to be lost because they wouldn't accept Christ. They're not going to be lost because the devil took them away from Christ. Nobody, the devil and all of his angels, cannot take even one child of God away from Jesus. Therefore, I have no fear about my eternal salvation because my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of all of His people, He accomplished what He came to do. And I have no fear. I have no fear of eternal hell. And I'm thankful that I've understood this truth most of my life because I have known many people, and I know some today, that are afraid that they're going to die and go to hell. And I'm talking about children of God who love God, but they don't know that they have a Savior who accomplished what He came to do. And there is fear in their heart. They're so much afraid that they're not going to be in heaven because they don't understand the completed and finished work of Jesus Christ in saving His people from their sins. So we are not to be afraid because we have a Savior who has saved us from our sins. When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and Jesus said, "It is finished," He had accomplished what He came to do. The primary purpose that He came into the earth was to save His people from their sins. So, what does the angel say to these shepherds? "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now, I want you to understand the power of the Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the finished and completed work of our Savior. Because if you know what Jesus has done, it will remove all fear of eternal hell from your mind and heart and soul. Go with me to 1 Timothy just a moment. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see that we have a Savior that accomplished what He came to do. And I want you to know that Jesus didn't come and save just a few people. And He didn't come and save just those that were pretty good. He saved the most wretched of sinners that have ever lived on the face of the earth. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, did you know Jesus saved murderers? Did you know that? There are people that have killed people, maliciously killed people, and yet they're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now that takes some powerful blood to do that, you know it? Only the blood of Jesus Christ has ever saved anyone from their sins. But there are some people that as we look at them, we think, you know, I'm talking about the way men think. We think, you know, that person is pretty good and that person ought to go to heaven. In our confused thinking, we believe that. But there's not anybody that's good enough to go to heaven. The only reason anyone will be in eternal heaven is because of the amazing grace of God and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there are some people that are vile and wretched sinners, and they know that they're wretched sinners. And there are people that in your eyes and my eyes, if we were saying now, there's somebody that deserves eternal hell, we would say, now that's somebody that really deserves eternity in hell. Well, that's the way the Apostle Paul felt about himself. He knew he was a murderer. He had killed Christians. And he knew he deserved eternal hell. And I think anybody that knows very much about themselves know that you deserve eternal hell. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Scripture says that Paul said to the young preacher Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now that's what the Apostle Paul wrote, and he believed that and he felt that. He felt that he was the chief of sinners. And there are times in my life that I feel that I'm the chief of sinners, that I feel like I'm the worst human that's ever lived. There are times that the devil deceives me and I think I'm a pretty good fellow. But when I know the truth about me, I'll feel the same way Paul did here when he says, "I'm the chief of sinners." And yet he says, Christ Jesus came into the world not to save good people, not to save people that were living right. He came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." And he accomplished what he came to do. So I want you to know that Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, is able to save the chiefest of sinners. I'm going to go ahead and say this. There is not a single sin that a man has ever committed that the blood of Jesus Christ is not able to save them from that sin. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. I believe that there are people that are homosexuals today that are children of God. And I believe homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. And you and I might look at them and say they deserve eternity in hell. But I believe that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is so strong that there are people that are homosexuals that will one day, by the grace of God, be in eternal heaven. Am I saying it's all right to be a homosexual? Absolutely not. I believe there are people that have killed their babies that are going to be in eternal heaven. I believe there are people that have committed the worst kinds of sin you can ever think of in your life, and yet they will be in eternal heaven, and they will only be there. The same reason you will be there and I will be there is because of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only Savior, the power of the Savior, the love of the Savior, the grace of the Savior, the one I'm talking about. Again, I just get very frustrated when I hear people talking about somebody who wants to save you, but he just can't do it. And he's trying to save you, but he can't do it. That's not the Savior I'm preaching to you about tonight. That's not the Savior that will keep you from ever having fear. The only Savior that will cause you to feel what those shepherds felt when the angel said, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, I can almost hear those angels saying that to those shepherds. And I know that they had great peace in their soul when they saw the Savior. Now, look at 2 Timothy. We're in 1 Timothy where Paul says he's the chief of sinners. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 7. Now, there were two main statements that I wanted to look at from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. One of the statements is, fear not. That's the first thing, fear not. Second statement was, the reason we're to have no fear is why? Because we have a what? We have a Savior. Fear not, because you have a Savior. Listen now in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He's talking about fear. He's going to follow that up with the reason that we ought not to have any fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. The Word of God says, for God hath not given us. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy by the inspiration of God. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Are there many children of God that are afraid today? Are there children of God that are afraid they're going to die and go to hell? Yes, there are many children of God. They fear going to hell because they don't understand what that angel said to those shepherds. Fear not, because the Savior has come. Now, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if you know about the Savior, you're going to have a feeling, not a feeling of fear of going to hell, but you're going to have a feeling of power. It empowers me to know that Jesus has saved me from my sins. It makes me feel good to know that Jesus, in spite of my sinful condition, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. It makes me feel good to know that when He was beaten and hung upon the cross of Calvary and He shed His blood, He died for my sins. We were not redeemed, Peter says. We were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what paid for my sins and yours, is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're not redeemed with silver and gold. You know, I read sometimes, I get periodicals, and they'll say, if you'll just send us money, we can save people to eternal heaven. That it only takes $4.10, or it takes $23.98. And they talk about how much money it takes just to save one soul. I'm telling you, there's never been anybody saved because of money being sent, and never been anybody lost because money was not sent. Our Savior has accomplished what He came to do. Not a single one, not one is lost.
Not one will ever be lost. Fear not, because you have a Savior, a real Savior, a successful Savior, a powerful Savior, a gracious Savior, a loving Savior. Now, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Listen carefully. Verse 8, 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the will of God, who," what are the next three words? What are the next three words? Who what? Who hath saved us. Now, did you know that's a completed act? Not somebody who tried to save or 90% saved, you'll just do one more little thing. But he hath saved us. You see, what does Paul say here? He says the same thing those angels said to those shepherds back there. He's saying, fear not. God's not given you the spirit of fear because God hath saved us. The rest of verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling because you're good. No, it's not because you're good. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of whom? By the appearing of whom? Of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me tell you something, brethren. Life and immortality do not come through the gospel. Eternal salvation does not come through the preaching of the gospel. But life and immortality are brought to light through the gospel. You're able to see what God has done by reading and hearing the Word of God. You know that you have a Savior because God has told you you have a Savior. You know He accomplished what He came to do because God has told you in His Word what He came to do, and He accomplished what He came to do. So we have a Savior. And because we have a Savior, we have no reason to fear. Now, let me say that not only do we have no reason to fear eternal hell because we have a Savior, but I'm going to go much further than that and say not only do you have no reason to fear eternal hell, but you have no reason to fear the problems and troubles of life. And the reason you shouldn't be afraid of the troubles and problems and financial crisis and all these other things, the reason you ought not to be afraid is the same reason that you ought not to be afraid of eternal hell. Fear not, because you have a Savior. The same Savior that has saved you from your sins, that same powerful Savior is able to provide for you every day of your life. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, that we trust in God who hath delivered us. He has done what? What does delivered mean? What's another word for deliver? Save. You go to the Old Testament scriptures, you look up the word deliver, and it comes from the same word as the word save. Delivered. He has delivered us. He hath delivered us from so great a death. What is the so great a death God hath delivered us from? It's eternal death, eternal separation from God. He hath delivered us from so great a death, in whom we trust, and He doth deliver, that's day by day, in whom we trust He shall yet deliver us. Do you know why we have no reason to fear? It's because He's already saved us. It's because He is saving us day by day from the troubles and problems in this world. And it's because He will forever save us and deliver us. God, our Savior, who saved us from eternal hell, listen, brethren, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Your Savior. I hope all these children, I hope all these parents, I hope every one of us, I hope we will never be afraid. Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's not only, and I believe that probably everybody in this building, I think that all of us believe that He has saved us from our sins. And we have no fear of eternal hell. But we also need to be believing that God is able to save and deliver and help us and provide for us and take care of us no matter what happens in our lives. Did you know that no matter what kind of sickness you have, the Savior is able to deliver you from that? Did you know that? You can take the worst heart problem that's ever been. The Savior can touch it and heal it. Did you know that? I'm living example and proof of that. The Savior is the only one that made a difference in my life. You take the person that has ever had the worst cancer in the world, all that has to happen is what? The Savior, all he has to do is just speak the word, and it's healed. Oh, we have a wonderful Savior. Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He's a Savior that saved us from eternal hell. He's a Savior who saves us day by day. Every time temptation takes you, should you be afraid then? Whenever you're tempted, should you be afraid? You ought not to be afraid. Fear not! Don't be afraid of temptation. Fear not! Why? Because you have a Savior. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that every time you're tempted, let me read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Brother Jerry can quote it to you, and I could, except I'm getting old, there it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Word of God says, I'm going to give you time to get there because I want you to see it. I want you to read it. I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about here's the reason that you don't have to worry about temptations. Have you ever thought you've been tempted like nobody's ever been tempted before? Have you ever thought your problems were worse than anybody's ever had on this earth? I felt that way a lot of times in my life. There have been several times in my life that I thought this is the worst anybody's ever had in their life. Isn't that amazing how silly we get sometimes? We think we've got the worst troubles that anybody's ever had on the face of the earth. There's nothing new under the sun. Every problem that has ever been, every trouble that's ever been, there have always been those kinds of troubles in the lives of God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." What does that mean? It means that it has been a temptation in all ages of the world. It's something the devil has used all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It's either the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. All temptation falls into one of those three categories. He used it in the Garden of Eden, and he will, as long as this world continues, the devil will continue to tempt God's people. But there hath no temptation ever taken you, but such as is common to man. It's common in that all men, all in all ages, have experienced those kinds of temptations. But God is faithful. Listen carefully. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know how you can escape? Does anybody have an idea that when a big temptation comes up, do you have an idea of how you can escape? You have an idea of how to escape? Well, then, Brother Richard, tell me how to escape. There you are. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Why? Because unto you, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And He has not only saved us, but He is saving and delivering us. And He will yet. It does not matter. Listen, brethren. It does not matter how bad things get in America. God will provide for His obedient children. David said, "I've been young and I'm now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." He's a Savior. He's able to save. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You think of the greatest deliverance that ever could be, and He's able to do greater than that. When Peter was out there walking on the water, and he began to look at the waves, looking at the troubles. And that's the way we are. Sometimes we're walking on water. Sometimes we're on top of the world. How many of you have ever said, when somebody says, "How are you doing?" How many of you have ever said, or have you ever heard anybody say, "Oh, pretty good under the circumstances"? Have you ever heard that kind of statement? Pretty good under the circumstances. You ought not to ever be under the circumstances, brethren. You ought to be on top of the circumstances. Doesn't matter what your problems are, you have a Savior. Don't you get under the circumstances. You get on top of the circumstances. Don't you ever be weak and weary and faint and discouraged and despondent. I pray that God will help you to remember every day, fear not!